Today marks 1 year since the Taliban returned to power in Afghanistan. The lightning offensive in the country 12 months ago brought an end to America's longest war. And as the US soldiers left, Kabul airport became a scene of panic as thousands tried to flee. You might remember the astonishing footage of people trying to climb onto the wings of moving planes. But for all those left behind, life under the Taliban has worsened. Millions face starvation, the economy is on the verge of collapse, and women have been stripped of many of their rights, including access to education for girls aged over 11. Obaidullah Bahir is an activist and transitional justice academic at the American University of Afghanistan in Kabul and joins me now. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
Can you briefly take us back to that day, 12 months ago? What was happening in the capital when you had the realization that the Taliban were back in charge?
Actually, it was the morning of the 16th, and the Taliban had marched into the city. I was on a podcast with ABC, and I was telling them about the drive I'd taken outside in the city. And it was different. The world had changed. There were Taliban on the road, and they were driving around with their guns, not interacting too much with people. And the plane you referred to, I actually saw that plane take off because we were headed to a compound behind the airport where many of our academics were hiding, and I was trying to figure out how we could move them to the airport. So for me and my friend who was driving, it was shocking to see a plane take off because we didn't think the airport would be operational. And just to watch the video later of people falling off that airplane was just devastating. And it was very new. And we really didn't know what to feel because it was just so overwhelming.
There was chaos at Kabul airport. People were trying to get out by whatever means they possibly could. You made the decision to stay. Why?
Because it's the motherland. It's apparent and it can get difficult, but you don't walk out on it when you can stay. And this is not to say that those who were at an existential threat or chose not to risk it, did something wrong. But some of us have to stay behind, either by virtue of privilege or just choosing to stay back. Because if all of us had left, then nothing would have ever changed or improved.
How has life changed in Afghanistan? Can you describe what day-to-day life looks like, especially in terms of the economics that you find yourselves in, the everyday cost of the change?
I think we very often fall into the trap of generalization. So my experience could be very different to the experience of the next Afghan. But a lot of what changed in Afghanistan, especially with regards to the economics, was not the Taliban. It was the international community, after a deal with the Taliban, choosing to impose the toughest sanctions it had imposed in modern history. Our sanctions were tougher than that of Russia after attacking Ukraine. Just imagine that. And this is for an aid-dependent country that for 20 years barely survived off that aid. And we were already seeing alarming signs of a humanitarian crisis approaching before August 15th. So there was that. And then with regards to how life has changed, I've spent my whole day today talking to people that were taken by the Taliban. I talked to a journalist friend who had a gun pointed at them for covering a demonstration. I talked to another friend who spent 45 days in Taliban detention being tortured for tweeting something that was unacceptable to the Taliban. And so there's that part that is devastating to just even think about, because every time I have this conversation with a friend, it takes a part of my soul. But on the other end, the problem is that the Taliban are a reality. They're here, they're ruling the country, whether we like it or not. So, I mean, burying our heads in the sand is not an option. And choosing to roll over is not an option either. So we have to keep pushing back. There are positives, but they're overshadowed because, okay, the conflict ended. We can access remote areas of Afghanistan. I've gone to remote areas of Afghanistan to provide aid and help in development in those areas. But then you have all these human rights violations that you have to speak up against and fight against, and to choose nonviolence at a time when everything is pushing you towards violence. I think that that takes something. We've sat across the Taliban with our hearts full of grievances, and we've told them what they've been doing wrong. And ultimately, it's up to them whether they want this to be sustainable, whether they want this to be livable for Afghans, or they want another short-lived tyrannical regime in Afghanistan that we have had plenty of in the past few centuries.
The rights of women and girls have also fallen away, with women unable to work and girls barred from attending high school. What impact is that having on women and girls in Afghanistan right now?
There is a ban on girls going to high school, and it was done in a horrific way where the academic year was starting in March and the girls went to school only to be told halfway through their day that they had to go back and they had to wait for another decree from the Taliban for the school doors to open. A ban on high schools is a de facto ban on university going students, because if you don't have people graduating from school, you don't have people going to university. And then we can't hold our breath, because from the rhetoric that we hear, things might get tougher, things might get worse. And that's why we have to make our stand now, and we have to speak for those rights. They're not going to be ideal. We're not going to have whatever we have envisioned for Afghanistan, because again, they came in with guns, with tanks, and they took over by force. But there can be a negotiated outcome, a reconciliation, where we at least get our bare minimum.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Petrie.
Obaidullah Bahia is an activist and transitional justice academic at the American University of Afghanistan in Kabul.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.